True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back to The Drive on a Reaction Monday as the Texans lose a tough one yesterday in L.A., 14-9. The defense, they played well. You hold Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, and they were on. Williams in the backfield, you hold them to 14 points. You feel like you should win that game.
Yeah, girl.
Turn the ball over, especially when it mattered in a big moment. You feel like you should win that game, but your offense struggled so much that you weren't able to get the job done. 9 points overall, none in the second half, and just a tough go of it. And I think coming into this year, obviously, Clint, the biggest thing we were going to watch was the offensive line. And that was going to be probably the biggest talking point for this team moving forward. By the way, coming up here in the next segment here, we will hear from you. We will open up the phones line, 713-572-4610. You can give us your thoughts on this first game and where you are. But the O-line was a big part, and they had some shuffling. We wondered, as Ed Ingram was questionable on Friday, what would that mean? And if he couldn't go, what would it mean? And what we saw was a lot of shuffling. And then in the game, Cam Robinson had to come out with cramps and saw even more shuffling that brought Blake Fisher into the game. And in four plays, he got himself a 50-yard penalty that helped kill a drive as well. Here was C.J. Stroud, the quarterback of the Texans, talking about the offensive line issues and the combinations that they had to make going into this game.
Yeah, it's not easy, you know. It's something that just, what you're going to complain about, or you're going to, you know, or you're going to lay down, or you're going to go play. So for me, I just try to compete, as best as I can and show those guys that I don't care who's in there, like, I trust in you. And by the way I play, I try to play as hard as I can to show that I'm there for them, and also vocally as well. So, but yeah, even, you know, our receiver a little bit, you know, we got some guys, you know, hopefully coming back hopefully soon. So, yeah, it's not always easy, but, you know, that's why I'm in the position I am, to try to, you know, solve some of those issues. Because everybody deals with injuries, but, you know, I think I've, you know, tried to do my best at that.
A lot going on with the offensive line and how they decided to go in this game. 3 sacks, 10 quarterback hits for the Rams. C.J. Stroud, according to Next Gen Stats, was pressured over 41% of his dropbacks in yesterday's game. Your thoughts on everything with the offensive line and their performance?
Well, the significance of that audio right there to me is C.J. Stroud, which I greatly appreciate he did, is acknowledging that, yeah, this isn't ideal. Like having a different left tackle, a different right guard, a different right tackle than I had the last month of training camp is not ideal. That getting switched and having to move everybody all over the damn place in the middle of a game when the one guy you think you can depend on, the guy you paid $12 to $14 million, has got cramps on the sideline. Now, all of a sudden, you got a carousel on your offensive line. The significance of that offense is C.J. Stroud telling all of us, like, yeah, man, it's not ideal. It's not easy, right? And so my response to that is I believe this is one of a handful of things that Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, and the organization, they've invited to the party. Mm. Like, the approach to offensive line play, this overall five best offensive linemen, everybody playing every position, the thought of guys, a rookie going from left tackle to right tackle in an NFL game against that defense, oh, it's no big deal. They practice both positions. Like, it is in my opinion, it's laughable the way that this organization has approached offensive line, like constructing an offensive line, and the way that this is. We think about it. We had Nick Caserio on these airways multiple times, and he is literally on record saying how special of a skill set it is for the veteran Titus Howard to go from the right side of the football to the left side of the football. Do you know how hard it is to go from the right side of the football to the left side? Forget guard to tackle. Right side of the football to the left side. And then all of a sudden in game one, we've created a situation where we're going to ask a rookie to do it. Because why? Because you got a big fella out there at left tackle that hadn't practiced all training camp and has got cramps. Right? That being the plan coming into week one.
Did you see, like, Titus and him standing there as Cam went on the ground, like looking at the bench, like, what are we going to do?
What you going to do now? Yeah.
I saw their eyes, like, what are we going to do here?
Well, the big part of this is if this were week eight and you had just a ravage of injuries and you're like you're just like, man, we don't have more choices. You know, this is what we got. They invited this. By the way they built this thing, they invited this. Ed Ingram, your entire offensive, three of your five offensive line positions, that you went into week one with was all based on, predicated on the health of Ed Ingram, a middle of the road guard that wasn't even in the plans to start when you signed him. Because he's not healthy, you reshuffled not one, not two, but three positions on your offensive line, which then created a shortage at the tackle position. So when a tackle does get injured or need a breather, now you're bringing in Blake Fisher, who peed down his leg all training camp, and in the process of doing that, you're moving the rookie from one side to the other. Like, that whole, this is not a, it's the NFL offensive line play, it is what it is, you got, like, that's the response for the situation that they've created, but I think that they've invited this offensive line, and I think it's significantly more,
absolutely,
it's a significantly bigger deal than D'Amico Ryans mentioned in the postgame. And I think it's significantly bigger deal than many people over this next week are going to make it. They're going to write it off as, oh, it's football, man. Everybody, it happens. It's football. No. This is week one. You're shuffling three of your five positions before the game starts and in the middle of the game? Yeah, no, I disagree. I think it's an issue that they invited and it bit them in the tail.
There's a few things with the offensive line. 713-572-4610. What were your thoughts about the offensive line's performance yesterday? It was the biggest talking point in the offseason. One thing, Tyler, is I don't know what the guy you moved up in the second round to get has to do to get on the field. Oh, but they are avoiding that, like Juice Scruggs. Like, I mean, to me, it just made sense. Hey, how about you just slide Juice in if Ed Ingram's, right? What we're going to swing everything around for?
Yep.
Right? Like, why would you, again, as you said, Cam hadn't practiced all week. It's not a shocker that he may have some cramps or anything like that. Why would you swing that all the way around? Right? Then hell, you moved up for him to be a center. Hey, man, David Andrews goes, or what's Andrews' name? Is it
Jake?
Jake, yeah, David's his brother. Jake Andrews goes down. Still not him, the sixth rounder that you drafted in the same draft, Patterson
Luggett's backup center in.
I don't know. I don't know what has to happen for him to get on the field at this point in their trust. You got to have multiple injuries up front for him to get on the field. And look, Clint, I would say I think I'm with you. It's better to me in a sense. I didn't see as much confusion from the offensive line.
Agreed.
Now, there was some free rushers, but I don't know how much that's on them. I didn't see as much confusion on the offensive line. I just, at this point, just saw ass kicking.
Yeah.
Arianti Erstree struggled, and you're moving him from right to left.
Yeah.
Like, he can handle it. He's struggling. He's struggling no matter, you know, who he's going up against.
To be clear, Ron, my frustration is to the organization, not the players. There's nothing Titus can do. If you show up and they tell you to go play right guard, you got to act happy. I mean, you're making a boatload of money to do it, right? If Arianti Erstree, if they ask you to slide from left tackle to right tackle, hell, you got to do it, right? But for all of us that analyze and evaluate and cover the team, to sit back and just go, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. It's football. Everybody in the NFL does it. Yeah, no, I just disagree. Not week one. I mean, because here's what you do. The whole starting lineup hinged on Ed Ingram's oblique or stomach issue, what an ab issue or whatever it was, right? And then the way you shuffled the deck, now your ability to tack to block on the edges now hinges on the one guy that didn't practice all training camp, the one guy that was sick earlier in the week and couldn't practice, Cam Robinson. So now you're because the minute he goes down, now you're back to these musical chairs.
And now you're bringing Blake Fisher in here, who you don't
instead you trust. Arianti Erstree, Titus Howard at tackle. You plug a guard that you kept on the roster that you drafted. Plug him in at right guard and let's ride with it. If it becomes a problem, then you can try to maybe you adjust late. But like this whole best five approach, I mean, I disagree that it's no big deal, next man up type of situation. Like I think they're inviting a lot of this in, these issues with the offensive line. They're inviting this stuff in. You can argue that it's putting significantly more pressure on guys to be able to listen or communicate the calls, and then all of a sudden, second nature, be able to adjust on the fly when they're going left to right, tackle to guard. You know what I mean? Like you can argue that it's making the position significantly more difficult to play.
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm talking about mentally. You know what I mean? Like that. There's like in Titus Howard, maybe the one that can handle the in and out, but it's hard for me to think that's ideal week one.
Yeah, yeah. We said this is a situation in which they better be right with how they have decided to handle this offensive line during the offseason. And again, I will sit and say, yes, it is the first game. It is early. They had some injuries. I don't know that Ed Ingram was in the fold as the original plan, but apparently he won his job. So when he gets back, we can better assess what they have. But, I mean, I'll just be honest. Arianti Erstree, Clint, is really the only one up there where you're like, all right, I feel like, you know, this is going to be potentially a totally different player in 10 weeks. Everybody else is pretty much who they are, right? Like there's not going to be an uptick in jump from Lakin Tomlinson or Andrews or Ed Ingram or, you know, even Titus. Like, I think Titus is a good offensive lineman, but like Erstree is the only one where you look at and you say, all right, this is his first game in the NFL. There's going to clearly be some growth there, and he'll look better in November than right now. But the rest of them, this is who they are.
Yeah.
And it is starting right now, Clint, not to look like, I don't know if this was the best way to attack how they tried to fix the offensive line. That's what it looks
well,
like.
Well, it's just, rubber met the road and it was not a good look. And to me, it's less about the players. The players have shown who they are. Like, I mean, there's a better unit. I think as a whole, across the board, they're a better offensive unit. I think they showed that. But boy, the approach has really. I mean, think about if you're Nick Caley. Think about if you're Nick Caley. You're going to the game. You're like, hey man, I got to be top of mind. I got a rookie left tackle. Now I've spent a week plus talking about this rookie left tackle. Let me correct that. I got a rookie right tackle. I got to protect this guy. I got to make sure this guy's all right. All of a sudden, Cam goes out. Well, now my rookie's moved to left tackle. Got to protect him. Well, Blake Fisher's at right tackle. He had a rough camp. Got to protect his ass, too.
Cam looked like he needed some help, too.
By the way, Nico's the only like proven X factor type player. I got to find a way to get him the ball. Like, it's just all over. You're just creating issues. Oh, by the way, let me make sure I get all four of my running backs touches early in the game. What are we doing? Yeah, I mean, there's some questions offensively that that to me the questions are above the players' heads.
All right, coming up, we're going to hear from you. I see our guy Dom on the line. I see Corey. I see Jay. I see Stretch Campbell. Solid name. We will.
That is good, Stretch Campbell.
We will hear.
That is good.
We will hear from you. Phone lines open. We will turn it over to you. What's your thoughts? How are you feeling after week one on this team? Are you with, hey, it's early with the Texans, let's let them, you know, grow and fill themselves out, or do you have a little concern / panic in your mind? We'll hear from you coming up.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Remember, we are out at 5 o'clock because this will be the first time since he spoke to the media after the game. You'll hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryan. It's the coach's show coming up behind us at 5 o'clock, so stay tuned for D'Amico Ryan's. Remember, you'll also hear from him tomorrow, I believe, at noon on In the Loop, as he will speak to the media. Everything is pushed back a day since they have Monday Night Football, so be ready for that. We want to hear from you, the people here, as the Texans suffer a tough loss. I think a lot of concerns that people had walking into the game, I would imagine a lot of them they don't feel better about because we saw them. 713-572-4610. Let's hear from you. And we could start by you answering the thought of, are you concerned about this or is this just early? Let's give them some time to get things together. Let's start off with our guy, Dom. Your thoughts, Dom. What you where you at right now when it comes to the Texans after game one?
Gentlemen, I just had a root canal, and that was more exciting than the Texans' offense yesterday. I am beyond concerned. I'm sick to my stomach. C.J. Stroud, why does he lose 15 to 20 yards every time he takes a sack? It makes no sense. Then you come out today and you say you could have practiced better? That makes me sick. D'Amico, 11 penalties yesterday. Bro, this team has been undisciplined since you took over, okay? And let me tell you something about C.J. Stroud before I go. Do not pay C.J. Stroud. He's just a guy. Week one and the sky's falling. Thank you for my call.
All right, Dom. Wow, that was... Damn it, Dom, that is it.
Dom nails it.
Man, 45 seconds and Dom got in a hot take to end it with I wouldn't pay C.J. He went in there and talked about C.J. C.J., you ain't lying. I mean, third down in the red zone. He dropped back and took a sack that dropped 10, 12 yards. You know, Fairbairn in the early part of the season is nails every year, so that didn't matter. But another sack, that's a good call.
That's
way to kick this
way.
Damn thing off.
He representing the Northeast, wasn't he?
That guy,
he's
done that
New
before.
York?
I missed him.
Is that New York?
New Jersey.
Is that Patrick Creighton?
Jersey.
He has done that before.
Oh, Patrick Creighton still be going.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a radio guy. He still be going. Good, Dom said, "Let me get in." Dom's a damn caller.
He's a caller. He said, "Let me get my hot take in."
Finish this thing off. Well done.
No, it was. Listen. I was wondering if we're probably reaching the point where I don't care how it happens. You can't go out there and score 9 points, no touchdowns. You be the guy that they're about to pay $60 million to, and we just going to say it's everybody else's fault. I think some of this has to and will start falling on CJ. All right, Corey, jumping in with you, man. How did you feel? Are you concerned or are you just saying, hey, it's early, let's let them get some time together?
Oh, no, I'm concerned because we have a middle of a pack head coach who acts like he's one of the top five. If you think about it, when we went against the Ravens when he first came back, he didn't adjust, and Lamar Jackson ate us up alive in the second half. Last year against Kansas City in the playoffs, he didn't adjust. He got out-coached by Andy Reid. Travis Kelce ate us up, and they won a playoff game. Yesterday, we're going to get Sean McVay, and he got out-coached again. He got out-coached. We let Puka Nacua come in. He had a bandage on his eye, catching the ball at will. And then on the last drive of the game, when it counts, you're going to get Sean freaking McVay, bro. And you think he's going to run the ball three times? The dude ran the ball twice, and then we set up for the run, and they hit us with the knockout punch. I'm telling everybody, we might not want to hear it. He might be a good defensive coordinator, but as a head coach, he has a long way to go, and that's my hot take.
Corey, no. Corey, do you feel like this is just you're angry right now and this is getting away from you? You got him as a middle of the road?
No, you done seen it for when did we win the big game, besides winning the AFC South in the wild card round? Every time we get into a big game,
they beat Buffalo.
They
beat Buffalo last year.
We beat Buffalo. Okay, we beat Buffalo. I give you that. He got our coach by John Harbaugh. He got our coach yesterday by Sean McDermott. He got our coach. He gets our coach in the big games, man. We need a fan. I'm the biggest Texas fan there is, but D'Amico, I'm just saying we put him on the pedestal. And really, in reality, we all know he's the middle of the pack head coach.
All right, Corey.
Holy smokes.
I think Corey's angry.
Hey, callers are killing it so far.
I think Corey's mad. I wonder if Corey, and you could text in, Corey. Corey, did you have him middle of the road before yesterday's game? I don't know if he's middle of the road. I think that's a little the turnaround that he has made has been extraordinary. I'm not gonna say he don't have to pick things up, and there's some things that he doesn't need to be better. I think that's maybe a little anger coming up.
Well, that's emotional. But I like it. I love it. I mean, at the end of the day, Corey's already there. But at the end of the day, I think everybody's going to get to a point where, all right, it was Bobby Slowick last time. Now it's Nick Caitlin.
Yeah.
It was this slew of offensive linemen and this offensive line coach, and now it's a new O-line coach and a new this and a new that, and it's more excuses. And at some point, right? I believe it don't matter what happens, they're going to pay C.J. Stroud $65 million a year.
Yep.
And at some point in time, it's going to fall at the feet of D'Amico Ryans the defensive minded head coach.
Well, he's tied
for
to Nick Cayley
for not getting this. I ain't no doubt.
He's like, not getting away with that.
I mean, D'Amico Ryans has been hovering over this offense all training camp long, and then they go out there and do this right here. I'm not going to go crazy and say he's a middle of the pack defensive line coach. I will emphasize how important it is that D'Amico Ryans, not everybody else, that D'Amico Ryans gets this offense right.
And I'm telling you, Corey and Dom kicking this thing off right, Jay.
Set the bar,
let's keep it going. Jay, are you concerned, or is this, hey, let's calm down, let's relax, and let them get going?
Man, I'm concerned as hell, bro. I ain't going to lie to you, man. They told us that the flags was going to stop when Tunsil got traded. Man, we got about 20 flags. They told me that they weren't going to spend no money and that we were going to protect C.J. Stroud. That ain't happened. And guess what, man? That's the last thing for me. I'm going to be quick. I'm talking about Ray Ogunbowale on the field. Okay, I know he took that game on the field goal, dog. But look, it's over with, man. He shouldn't even be in that position to be on the field in trouble. And that's on D'Amico and that's on Casario. Or Casario, whatever his name is. And I'm done with it.
Jay is smoking hot.
Dude, callers are making me so proud right now.
I will say, Jay, I know you're emotional. There were no lies told there. I cannot explain how we're in year three of the program, and it is clear they believe Dari Ogunbowale should be on the field in important moments.
Another pregame decision, another preseason decision that they are going into games with blows my mind.
Listen, I know I've said in the past, like, I believe that Dameon Pierce can run the football in this thing. You're in year three. I mean, you've continued to put yourself in a position where Dare finds his way on the field. He is, and to Jay, it's not his fault. He is a great special teams player and a great player to have on your team. They got Williams over there on third downs or in the game in important moments that can run it or catch it out of the backfield. Hell, Blake Corum, they drafted early. Do the same. You got Dare out here. Ain't his fault. Stretch Campbell coming in with a fantastic name. Go ahead, Stretch. Are you concerned or... Are you feeling the need to relax and they'll get it together?
Well,
go ahead. Now.
I'm concerned.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
You feeling good, ain't you?
We're panicking a little bit, but me, I'm gonna say, you wait 3 quarters. You run 3 quarters. You find out you can't open one hole. Why are you still running the ball?
No, I hear you.
Yes, some screens or something. You got to do something different. And TJ needs to get the ball out of his hand a little quicker instead of sitting there taking a nap waiting for somebody to get over. We seen that last year. It cost him a lot of games, good games, big games last year. Yeah, the defense has been Ryan is a heck of a defensive coach. He got the defense playing. If you can't score one touchdown for the defense, come on, man. Last year's defense, they shut the players down, and also they scored all the touchdowns on fumbles and pick off returns. You got to get the offense to a point where they can score at least 10, 20 points a game at least.
All right, Stretch, I appreciate you. Coors or what do you? That's a little harder, right?
Sounded a little older and a little longer than Coors. That sounded like it's a little closer to Dirty Red's Bud Ice or something.
Speculate.
Hey, go ahead now. Text line. Tunzel had zero penalties for the Washington Commanders yesterday.
How about that? Son of a bitch. I don't want to know that.
That was good. That was fantastic. Now you make me want to. I mean, so we got to do this on Monday.
Hell,
we got to do this. I mean, I want to do this more, but, you know, sometimes you just drive us right off the rails. But that was beautiful with the dismount from Stretch.
Yeah, I feel like that deserves a big, big voice man entry and a 40 segment.
I'm
yeah.
on it.
I'm telling you, that was.
Hey, Stretch, I said a 40 segment, not a 40. This is the time of the segment, Chief. Not what you got your hand on.
Like, is that a bad assumption that we believe he's had a few today, or that maybe that's just...
No, I think that's very just fair. It may be a bad assumption, but I think it's very... He earned it.
Yeah, between you watching NCIS, Investigative Discovery, me watching Dexter and stuff, we put our context clues together.
I mean, I think he's living life. I think he's got a great life.
He's reacting to that Texans loss on a Monday.
Coming up, weekend's best, weekend's worst, and we give you our Man Eye Institute Players of the Game. You can text yours in as well. Players of the Game, we'll do that coming up.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza. New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
Bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have 3 Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back on this Reaction Monday. Coming up here in just a bit, we will do our weekend's best, weekend's worst in just a bit. But each and every day after a game, every Monday, every Tuesday, every Friday, we will do our player of the game, our Man Eye Institute player of the game. And you could do yours as well. Wesley says, I mean, Will Anderson's the only answer, right? No, man. More than Will Anderson out there. You can come up with more. We'll do it. And I'll start off with mine. I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter. I thought Kamari Lassiter was the best corner on the field, and I mean from either team, and I understand who is on that field with Derek Stingley, who probably, hey, you're going to have some games. You're going to have some games where you're going up against a Hall of Famer and a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they're gonna get you a few times. And Derek Stingley kind of had some issues there a little bit with Adams, but Kamari Lassiter, I really only saw one big catch on him, and I think he was probably supposed to have some help on the inside with Puka Nacua, but much like everyone, he arrived, as he always does, Clint, violently, physical, and he held down a lot of his own. A lot of the big plays did not come his way, and so I love his intensity every single week, so I'm going to give my Man Eye Institute player of the game to Kamari Lassiter. Yours, Clint.
Man Eye Institute player of the game, Ron. That's a hard one to come by, man. I would go with Will Anderson. I think the defense played really, really well. They played well enough to win. And when it's all said and done, I think the pillar on that side of the football that sets the tone, that's obviously not happening on the offensive side of the football, I think is Will Anderson. And so performed well. Unit played extremely well. They were ready to play. They were prepared. They held down a Hall of Fame lineup that should have allowed the team, really, hell, it did allow the offense a chance to win the game late. So I got to go with Will Anderson.
All right, text line coming through. Aziz Alshire, he did, and that punch out was a huge, huge play as he gave them life. And I will say this, not just Aziz and Henry Toa played the majority of the snaps. Again, EJ Speed and Christian Harris combined 8 snaps in the game. I don't know if we saw EJ again after he jumped off sides in the middle there. But I mean, I guess some of that in the middle of the field they're a part of. But it didn't really feel like, you know, they got picked on like the last time we saw them, where just Travis Kelce was just killing them in the middle of the field. I thought them two being on the field, it was a bit better in terms of tight ends, running backs and stuff in the middle of the field. So I thought Aziz played a really good game as well. All right, weekend's worst, weekend's best. Tyler, jump in. Let's hear yours. What's your weekend's best over the week?
My weekend's best, fresh out of the weekend on a Reaction Monday, it's got to go to the Jets, and more particularly their quarterback, Justin Fields. You might have something. You might have something, New York Jets fans. There's no such thing. I'm sorry, Ron. There's no such thing as moral victories. We all know that, and y'all have heard me more than some others talk about. I don't want to talk about that, especially after a Texans loss. But the New York Jets have been an ish show for as long as I can remember. And even though they lost that week one matchup with Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers there at MetLife, Justin Fields showed a lot of good things. 2 TDs on his feet, 1 with his arm. It was a shootout. And I think that's something they can build off of. So if I'm a Jets fan today on a Reaction Monday, I'm feeling a lot better. Weekend's best to the Jets and Justin Fields.
Hey, I did not have 30-plus points on the Steelers' defense on my bingo card. Ooh. So I hear you on that one. All right.
Glad to have that old quarterback that could move the ball up.
Yeah,
the field.
Yeah. Aaron had himself a big week, 4 touchdown passes in that game. All right, Clint, what's your weekend's best?
This one's there's a lot of good, but this one I got to ride with Josh Allen. I mean, the what he was able to do last night against that particular team and Lamar Jackson, bring them back from a 2-score deficit and end up having to score 3 times because their 2-point conversions didn't work out worth a damn. You know, that was impressive. Big stage, opening weekend, going against the best, going against the one guy that, let's be honest, I think if these teams win 10-plus games, these are going to be your top 2 MVP candidates more than likely. The way they play, they affect the game with their legs and their arm. These two guys are going to be in that mix. And for Josh Allen to win it the way that he did was I just can't put. I liked what Aaron Rodgers did. Hell, I liked what Daniel Jones did. Good for those guys. But I can't put any of those guys over Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh was that game was crazy as hell.
Wild.
I think it was a good game.
For the offenses, it was.
Yeah,
the other time, the other game I can think of that he was in like that, Pat Mahomes outlasted him and he just couldn't. Wasn't it overtime with Pat Mahomes?
13 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so he's against the greats, against the Lamars and the Pats, and like it seems like he's come up short. It was good to see him get one and play that way to get it done.
All right, my weekend's best goes to South Florida and their head coach, Alex Galish. He is going to get a job soon. His first 2 games this year, Clint, they have beaten ranked Boise at home, and then they went on the road in the swamp and beat Florida 18-16.
That Boise win was convincing, too,
yeah,
wasn't
convincing.
It?
They blew them out, and they got Miami next. What a hell of a start to their season. They're playing the Hurricanes next, but they are 2-0 against 2 ranked teams, and they have now jumped into the polls as well. So I don't know, South Florida, you better start looking, hunting down another coach, because that dude is probably gone.
On the flip side of that, I mean, Billy Napier's got to be like, I mean, it's got to be coming any minute, right? That he's dismissed from the Florida Gators.
I don't know. Way he ended his year last year.
This has got to be.
I don't know what his buyout is, but this definitely, Tyler.
They said they had the buyout ready last year.
Well, I saw that on the SEC Netflix thing. Well, yeah.
He had. I think coached his way out of the hot seat. Like the expectations were through the roof, and then this cannot. This cannot sit well. I got to believe that seat's hotter than hell.
What's your weekend's worst?
Right here in Houston. Nick Cayley. Yep. Right here in Houston. Texans offense. People have the Texans as a Super Bowl sleeper contender.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying that's not possible, but I'm saying it's highly unlikely given what we just watched on the offensive side of the football. Unacceptable. Absolutely. I'm not even looking at the box score. I'm not
just what you watch.
I'm not concerned about 9 points. It's the first week. I'm not gonna bail for not. It has nothing to do with that. It's all the other stuff that I think played a big role in why you only put 9 up. That just really, really concerns me about what's going on the offensive side of the football. And really, I say Nick Cayley, D'Amico's just as responsible.
Yeah. All right, Tyler, your weekend's worse.
Oh, it's got to be for me. I mean, outside of what Clint just laid out there so beautifully, I think we all could agree with that being the weekend's worst, the Texas offense. But I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins.
No, I think you're wrong. I think the Miami Dolphins were worse than what Nick Cayley put forth yesterday.
They may have been.
I think they were.
They may have been, but I don't feel it like that, you know?
I hear you.
But the Miami Dolphins, if you missed it, little AFC South update for you. The Indianapolis Colts, well, they won their week one game as they hosted the Dolphins. Then just win it, beat that ass, 33-8.
It wasn't that close.
It wasn't. No, it really wasn't. 33-8, your final in Indy, and it just all looked bad. Mike McDaniel is a coach. The offense, Tyreek wasn't able to get going. Tua looked awful. Miami Dolphins weekend's worst.
Yeah, the Texans, they might want to take a look in there and see what that Tyreek Hill might look at right now. I'll be honest with you. He's about 2-3 weeks away from that being a potential thing there. That looks like that's coming to an end. All right, my weekend's worst was the entire first half performance in the Kansas City Chiefs on Friday. That was just awful. What did CJ said? Lollygagging. It was worse. They got players running into each other. Just took out Xavier Worthy. He's got a dislocated shoulder because nobody understands the depth on routes they're supposed to run. Then the very next series, the cornerback and linebacker run into each other to leave a wide open receiver on a touchdown. They had 10 penalties. They were just awful.
Bundle Ruski.
To come out, and then they all of them talked about that they lacked the Nick Cayley. They all said they didn't have any energy and juice in the game. They lacked the old Nick Cayley. I don't know how after you just got your ass kicked up and down the field by the Philadelphia Eagles the last time you played, and then you came out there like that. So
didn't have a protractor out there.
Obviously, the Miami Dolphins were the worst, but they were pretty bad as well. What you got coming up?
All right, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I mentioned it earlier. I'm asking the flight attendant on the flight home from L.A. I'm asking him to please page Nick Cayley. I need him to come up here and sit in this middle seat here, and we got to have a quick conversation because the second we hit the ground in Houston, there's some things that absolutely have to be fixed. That conversation between D'Amico and Nick Cayley, I'm going to tell you exactly what it needs to consist of. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.